Broadcasting from the studios of KCCU on the campus of Cameron University, this is the Texoma Report. I'm Melissa Beck, and now the news. The U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday sided with the tribes in the McGritt versus Oklahoma case. Allison Herrera has more for the Oklahoma Public Media Exchange.
In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court sided with Oklahoma tribes in deciding one of the most closely watched cases this year. Justice Gorsuch joined Justices Kagan, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Breyer to issue the opinion. In his opinion, Gorsuch stated, quote, "Today, we are asked whether the land these treaties promised remains an Indian reservation for purposes of federal criminal law. Because Congress has not said otherwise, we hold the government to its word," end quote. The Supreme Court argued the case in early May after punting on the Carpenter versus Murphy case last year. The central question hinged on whether or not the Muscogee Creek Nation's boundaries, as set by the 1866 treaty, were ever dissolved by Congress. I'm Allison Herrera.
In the wake of Black Lives Matter activism across the country, teachers are re-emphasizing their role in leading discussions about racial justice. State Impact's Robbie Korth spoke with Tulsa Public Schools Manager of Equity Content, Danita White, and Hawthorne Elementary School third grade teacher, Catherine Maloney, about how to talk to children about race.
So how do you spark this conversation with your child? Like, how do you just very concretely get into it? Because I think it can be intimidating for people.
You want to take that? Or you want me to start off?
You can kick it off, Danita.
Okay. Honestly, you just have to do it. You just have to model what it means to engage in difficult conversations. If our kids grow up and see that the adults around them never talk about race, never talk about disparities, never talk about inequity, they have internalized that this is not something that we talk about and it's not important. I am sure, and I heard this message when I was growing up as well, that like, you don't talk about race, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about all of those things. And now we're in a society where like, we can't have productive conversations right now.
I completely agree with you, Danita. I think it can feel like the Band-Aid, you know, when like, you don't want to rip your Band-Aid off, you're going to kind of like pick at it. But the only way to actually ever get it off is to rip it. And the only way to talk about race with your kid is just to do it. And I keep this kind of at the back of my mind when like something uncomfortable, you know, comes up in the classroom or a difficult conversation seems like it's going to start. A teacher who constantly pushes the discourse away from uncomfortable topics or topics that we've been socialized to believe are uncomfortable, like race, will give your students the impression that talking about race is inherently negative.
We have a lot of listeners who, you know, maybe live in rural areas or in segregated areas where they don't have people of other races with them, living around them. How do you have these types of conversations when a child isn't regularly exposed to someone who doesn't look and act exactly like them?
Regardless of if you live in a very small, rural, mostly white town, regardless of that fact, you have the world at your fingertips. Netflix, libraries, online media platforms, there are plenty of ways to introduce your child to films or books or things that will make them think about these critical, you know, in a topic like race. There's plenty of resources. I think it's about taking the time to access them.
Yeah, I agree. I 1000% agree. It's about being intentional. We're not in a time anymore where we don't have the internet right in front of us, or we don't have, you know, cars to get to places or any of that. It's about being intentional and actively choosing to expose your kid across lines of difference.
Kat, you had mentioned that colorblindness is not a good thing, is not a good strategy for talking to your children. Why is that? And how can you avoid that?
Teaching and parenting in a way that emphasizes being colorblind first and foremost abdicates responsibility from the teacher or the parent to actually do the work themselves to learn about the very real impact of systemic racism in our institutions and in our society at large. And I think then the effect on children is twofold. For white children who grow up with parents who choose the, you know, the colorblind route, we're feeding into the vicious cycle of systemic racism, lack of knowledge, and then inability to see people. That is a huge part of where we're at in society today. For children of color to grow up being educated by colorblind educators, the impact is that those children never truly feel seen, or they might not feel heard by some of the adults that will have some of the largest influences in their life.
To To add on to what Kat is saying, being colorblind is inherently like trying to prove that you're not racist, right? But in a system that is by and large racialized, I have a hard time understanding how you can see injustice or how you can see racism if you are colorblind. There's no way of doing that. If you claim to be not racist or anti-racist, those two things just don't align with one another.
State Impact Oklahoma on KCCU is sponsored by Oklahoma Pork Council, committed to ethical animal agriculture and safeguarding natural resources through ongoing sustainability efforts. Day in the life videos of pork producers, practices, and more at okpork.org. That's the news for this edition of the Texoma Report. For KCCU, I'm Melissa Beck. The Texoma Report is a production of KCCU News.